Fitness Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source for the best, most inspiring, and up-to-date information concerning all things related to MS, fitness, and health. This is Stephen Gloss, your host and MS warrior trainer and fitness advocate. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people with MS and fitness professionals worldwide in an effort to educate and train them in the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. Together, we can win the battle against multiple sclerosis. This is episode number 9. Today's special guest is the founder of TracyHealthyLiving.com. She holds a PhD in human growth and development from the University of Delaware. Using the latest scientific research, she helps people live their healthiest lives via one-on-one coaching, corporate talks, and sharing the more than 1,000 health-related articles she's authored. Her mission is simple: to help people achieve lifestyle performance at the highest level. Whether you're a college athlete, busy parent, or retired and still looking to live your best life, or even if you're someone who has multiple sclerosis, she can help. She recently teamed up with David Lyons in the MS Fitness Challenge to be the go-to source for information regarding sleep and its vital role in living well with MS. The MS Fitness Challenge podcast would like to introduce Tracy Davenport to the show. Welcome. It's such an honor to speak with you today, Tracy.
Oh, so nice to be here.
Yeah, Tracy, I was looking at your website, and it looks like you started your Healthy Living website back in 2014. So my question is, have you always had an interest and background in health, fitness, and human performance? And then what motivated you to want to branch off and start your own independent company? Can you kind of just walk us back and take us through this awesome journey of yours?
Yeah, so I think my path, well, first of all, thank you very much for letting me speak to your listeners. I'm so excited to be here. I think my path has not been straightforward, just like many of your listeners.
Right.
I have, always been interested in health and fitness. I was a 4-year D2 college athlete, so
oh, really?
I relate
what did
to
you
that.
Play?
I was a rower, actually.
That's really cool.
Yep, at Florida Tech, and that's where I met my husband, who has been a coach for the last 30 years. So we have a very sports oriented family. My youngest will play college sports next year. My oldest is a professional athlete. So
no way.
Sports and fitness. Yeah. So sports and fitness definitely runs through our household. And then I was an engineer in the beginning of my career and, you know, really felt like I wanted to do a little bit more. So I did a math and science camp for girls and then ended up going back to school for a PhD, in human growth and development. From there, I got kind of interested in disease and disability. My youngest son had severe acid reflux disease.
Oh, wow.
And we looked at caregiving a lot as a topic of research. And then I graduated and I was a college professor for a while. And then that's where the things took a major turn. My mom developed Alzheimer's dementia.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's a really, really difficult disease to cope with.
Yeah, it's difficult for sure. So we'll hit year 8 in May. And so that changed the course of everything. At that point, I needed more free time to help manage her disease. So I started doing my own thing a lot more, just one-on-one with clients. And then I really got interested in sleep through Alzheimer's research, which I ended up immersing myself in. My PhD in human growth and development, my area of expertise was disease and disability. So it was, you know, kind of easy for me to get, you know what I needed to do.
Right.
Fairly quickly compared to most people. So I got really interested in sleep. And then, you know, a lot of the average people didn't really want to know about sleep because, you know, it's inconvenient and all those things. But what I found was people that were into high performance were more interested. So in 2019, I started working with Division I athletic teams on performance and sleep. And that's what I did. And so just lately, I've, you know, branched out to law enforcement. And yesterday I was at a private high school. But mostly I've been working with high performance athletes and sleep.
That's really, really cool. And I'm sure that's been making a big difference. It has to, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the research is really clear. I mean, sleep science is one of the easiest areas of science there is. It's pretty clear cut. So in that way, my job is easy.
So how did you get in touch with David Lyons then? And what is do you have any personal background, any ways that
multiple sclerosis has had an impact on your life?
Not in directly MS, but again, my research for my dissertation, I worked for somebody that's very, very high up in the area of disease and disabilities with the Kennedy Foundation. And so he was a real mentor to me and really helped me understand disabilities beyond what my personal experience had been.
Right.
So academically, that's where I really got involved with diseases. And then I have been a health writer for the last 16 years, kind of a medical journalist. And I was writing a guide for MS with the latest literature, what was new and now. And I ended up reaching out to David in that way for a quote. And he asked kind of who I was and what I did. And he's like, wait a minute, this might be a good fit.
Yeah, that's so,
so
cool.
So I was just actually writing to him as a writer, nothing to do with my sleep. But sometimes when you just get to know people, you know, you can kind of figure out pretty quickly how your worlds come together.
Yeah, so when you were looking to get David for a quote, had you done some research on him and his background before that at all?
Yes, I had actually. His name had come up, and so I looked and saw what he had done, and you know, our worlds were very similar. That's why I said, oh, by the way, you know, this is what I do. So that was just kind of a fun, you know, universe connection there.
Well, like I said in the intro, you're going to be working with the MS Fitness Challenge, which I am just so excited about, especially considering your role relating to sleep and how it impacts people living with MS. So I saw that you wrote a book called Dr. Davenport's Insane Easily Sleep Guide, right?
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah, it's just a little ebook, and it has 7 steps to help us get better sleep. And what I did, I ended up, before I worked public speaking, I worked with one-on-one clients to help them get better sleep.
Right.
And what I did is I just took my experience that I learned from individual clients and put it together in a book just to share with people. It was like $2.99 just so Amazon would send it out for me. So it's just a really easy read and gives people an idea of the steps that I used with my personal clients.
Yeah, what's interesting, at least for me, sleep, you know, it's something that doesn't often come easy. And I think many people could relate to that, especially those, especially those living with multiple sclerosis. I mean, for me personally, I struggle immensely with getting good sleep. I mean, it's usually a battle for me to fall asleep that can take anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour sometimes. And often I find myself waking up throughout the night, either drenched in night sweats, or I find, like, just last night, actually, my right leg was completely numb, like pins and needles all the way down from the hip down. Mm-hmm. And I could, like, I had to punch my leg a couple of times. I had to stomp on the floor. I mean, it's just, that's sort of life living with MS at night. So when when your book says that, when you use the phrase in, you know, insanely easy when it comes to getting a good night's rest, can you give us some insights on how that's even possible?
Right. Well, let's kind of talk broad picture first. You know, sleep is a problem across the country. And just like you can say, you know, fitness is difficult for people with MS, fitness is difficult for the general population as well. So, you know, I'm going to just kind of try to tease it apart and bring it back together for you. So when we look at sleep disturbances in the United States, you know, we're looking probably 6 to 17% of people have insomnia. That's just the general population without MS. With MS, you're right, there are other struggles, and up to 35% of people in some studies with MS have insomnia and sleep disturbances. That being said, I was out of high school yesterday when we looked at 78% of the students were below the CDC recommendations for sleep. So again, in parallel with fitness, yes, you have a lot of unique challenges with MS, but there are also tools that we can apply from the general population that can improve things. And when there's a problem at night, let's say whether it's with acid reflux or MS, sometimes those problems are treatable. And the nighttime can kind of be the mirror to show us what needs to be treated. And we can reduce that insomnia number. That's specific to MS, but across the general population, there are so many people struggling. You know, when I say insanely easy, it's somewhat tongue in cheek, but it's kind of like, you know how there are really people that are really good with money?
Right.
And they're like, money's super easy. And you're like, how is money easy? And they're like, you just kind of figure out the vibe of it, you know? And it's like how fitness, it's really not easy, just like money's not really easy. But once you kind of figure out the work that it takes to get there, then it really is easy.
Right. It's having that pathway, just that foundation of knowing the way ahead, really.
Yeah, and also knowing the importance.
Right. And that brings me to the question is, it might sound super easy to answer, but I guess it's not in some ways. Why is sleep so important for overall health?
Right. Well, I mean, there are at least five reasons. I mean, physically, you know, we could get into that, why it's so important, cognitively important, emotionally it's important. I mean, those are probably, you know, the three main areas. Physically, we know through twin studies that, you know, the twin that has had more sleep is taller on average and a lower BMI. We use twin studies a lot in my field because we can, you know, take out the genetic component of that and just look at lifestyle and environment. And so physically, when we sleep, we release hormones that kind of put our muscles at rest. And that really helps with rest and recovery. So that's really, really important. And then when we sleep, we also release the majority of the growth hormone that we release in 24 hours happens at night. So that can be a real source of strength and repair for us. So we know that physically sleep makes a huge difference for our body. And then when it comes to cognitive abilities, our brain, through latest technology, we know that it's not a time of rest in any means. It's actually a very active time for us. And that's when memories are consolidated. And it's really super important. And this Alzheimer's research has really showed that when people with Alzheimer's get more sleep, their disease is slowed. And when they don't get as much sleep, then their disease is sped up. So we see a real direct connection with this protein plaque deposit on our brain that doesn't get cleared out when we don't sleep. And then finally, emotionally, you know, we do something when we sleep, a part of our brain called the amygdala does something called emotional stabilization. And what that does, you know, we all have problems. You have problems. I have problems. But when we get enough sleep, we tend to not catastrophize those problems. And that's what happens when we don't sleep. We can see that time and again in the lab with people with inadequate sleep. So, you know, it helps in so many different directions. It helps short term immediately, which is why I work with D1 teams. And then it also helps long term for Alzheimer's prevention. You know, by the year 2050, we're anticipating the rates of Alzheimer's disease to double in this country.
That's insane.
We're not slowing the disease. We're not stopping the disease. We're looking for it to double. And we know that lack of sleep is going to play a major role in that, in those numbers, because as Americans, we are not getting enough sleep, whether or not we have MS or not. So a lot of the tools that we can use in the general population, we can also apply to people with MS, understanding that, yes, you do have unique challenges, medication, pain, numbness, tingling, all of those things. But the same, you know, line of thinking, just like fitness, there's also some things we can improve and make your life better.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I like the parallels that you can sort of draw from looking at the brain in some ways is like a muscle that, you know, it's not healthy to overwork it, especially if you're not giving it time to rest, just like any other muscle in our body.
Right. Yeah, there's just so much important work that has to do at night that we can't recreate in any other part of the day. You know, we can see that with memory studies. We can give somebody a list of words in the morning and then even have them take a nap and then give them the list of words again, what they remember. And their performance doesn't do as well as if they had a good night's sleep. We can see that physically. We can see that emotionally. We can see that cognitively. So the science is there. It's all very real. Unfortunately, it's not really conspiracy theory. It's just that there's not a lot of interest in this country for people to get a good night's sleep. And the reason I say that, because if you and I are asleep at 9 o'clock, well, we're not buying the fourth meal at Taco Bell. We're not using dry shampoo. We're not watching Jimmy Fallon commercials, and we're not buying anything on Amazon.
Right.
So there's not a lot of interest in everybody going to bed.
Yeah, I think it's just the nature of our society that it's so go, 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 get this done. Like there's almost no time to just stop and breathe and collect yourself.
And right.
I think that takes a concerted, really intentionalized effort to make those changes if you're seeking the change and the benefits that sleep can provide.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where I got back to the, you know, insanely easy part is it's easier when you understand the payoff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, let's get into that a little bit. There are a lot of people with MS, and it's myself included, in that we simply feel like we can't outsleep our fatigue, is the way I say it. Whether it's 4 hours of sleep, 8 hours, or sometimes even 12 hours of rest, I've tried them all. We're still tired when we wake up. Do you think your sleeping strategies can help MSers gain ground against the fight over fatigue? I don't think there's – maybe there's not like a – this isn't like a cure-all sort of miracle cure that, you know, sleep is the magic pill. But do you think we can at least sort of gain ground in winning that balance against our fatigue?
Well, let me ask you a counter question.
All right.
Do you believe that fitness can help your weaknesses?
Absolutely. Yes.
Right. Okay. Same thing. So when you're talking about fitness and MS, you're not talking about once you have fitness, then you're not going to have some of your other inconveniences or disabilities, right?
Right.
You're still going to have some of the other muscle weaknesses and some of the crazy things that are happening as a result of the disease. But it's the same with sleep. Absolutely, we can help fatigue. But will there still be fatigue there? Probably. You know, fatigue is unfortunately one of the symptoms of MS. But that doesn't mean that we can't improve it similarly to fitness and strength issues with MS and balance issues.
And I'm really glad you're here because from my perspective with MS, especially as somebody that's been recently diagnosed, it's been less than 2 years still. Anytime I look at different approaches to increasing or improving my health, increasing my energy, reducing my spasticity or whatever it might be with any of my symptoms, I've made the mistake time and time again of going into these different holistic health approaches of assuming that if I implement them, that I'll find I'll find a permanent solution. And I think for those listening that have MS right now, that's not healthy, that you have to look at these things, especially with sleep health, that you have to look at it as an incremental process that leads to not perfect results, but at least better results. What's your opinion on that?
Oh my gosh. I mean, you're absolutely 100% correct. And what I love about my academic background in disease is that I look across the board, and so we can apply a lot of the principles and not get too caught up in any one disease. But, you know, just even looking at acid reflux disease, which is, you know, one of the things that I live with. I also have psoriatic arthritis. And so, I kind of understand, you know, a little bit of the flares and some things that happen. It's like saying, if I don't drink coffee, I won't have acid reflux.
Right.
You know, simply not true. If I don't drink coffee, it's not as bad.
Right.
You know?
and that's so critical and key because it can get really discouraging if you're told, hey, if you stop drinking coffee, the symptom's gone. You do that and you still have it and it makes it feel like it's, you know, what's the point is off.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the danger with sleep remedies, like the strategies you're suggesting is just because it doesn't work overnight, like immediately, that doesn't mean you give up, right?
Right. Well, we know that we can improve how you feel, how you perform through sleep. You're still going to have MS. But, you know, with human growth and development is we're looking for, you know, what's the best we can be with what we have. And, you know, people love to hate Tom Brady, but he's one of the people that I watch very closely at 42 and the level that he's still at. It's for any of us, you know, it's where we are, where I am with psoriatic arthritis or whatever, you know, I'm living with, where you are with MS. What's the best we can be? And we know sleep can help raise that performance level. And so that's going to be individualized. But through very solid research, we know it can make improvements.
Yeah.
And that part I can stand very confidently on.
Yeah, I like that you brought up. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Tom Brady as you know, for the team that he plays on, but as a person and the athlete who he is, you can't deny the results. And I think that's really important to focus on. People in this industry, as well as, you know, athletes and professionals that are living proof, as I say, of what these different remedies of what sleep, of what fitness, of what diet, nutrition, of what they can all do. If you look at the results, that's where I, at least for me, I find encouragement to keep pressing on.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, for me with psoriatic arthritis, well, you know, I can be so upset. You know, I gave up fried foods, only eating them once a week, and I still have symptoms. Like, yeah, you know, you're still going to have symptoms. But if I can sleep really well, if I can eat fried foods only once a week, if I can have a really plant-based diet, I'm exercising 6 days a week, I'm trying to keep my stress low. If I can do all those lifestyle factors, there's pretty solid science supporting I'm going to be doing better than I would be otherwise.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we're trying to achieve. So yeah, sleep isn't going to solve all your problems, but sleep is a key component of helping you live your best life with MS.
That's encouraging. Another big factor, and it's one that I think often goes overlooked when it comes to managing MS symptoms, is stress. Right. I've noticed that several times, especially just in the recent past, that I tend to be more symptomatic when I'm extremely stressed out. There was even an instance where I've never had this really happen to me in my life before, but it was almost like I had a stress attack that made it to the point where I almost fell down because my legs got so numb, and it was such a crazy experience. What would you say could be some coping strategies that you would suggest for stress management? And do you think that there's maybe a correlation between stress and the quality of our sleep, our ability to cope with stress?
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, yes. So I just did when I did my talk yesterday, I had, these were to students and faculty, and I had a image that's coming out in a behavioral journal this June, and it's showing the relationship between stress and academics and sleep. And when we don't get enough sleep, then our memory is worse. And then that usually hurts our academics, which hurts our stress, which hurts our sleep. So it can become a very negative cycle that need to break. I definitely understand, you know, the stress, it's the same in inflammatory arthritis. And we can look very quickly at science for, you know, the reason for that has to do with an inflammatory process and a neurological process when we're stressed. So keeping that under control is really important. And, you know, that's where, again, sleep can help, because we can begin to have a clearer head cognitively, and then emotionally we can not see things as tragic as they otherwise would be with a good night's sleep. So that can definitely help that. I think the first thing is, you know, for me and my condition, is to realize that I can't really afford much stress. And I know that I'm 57, so I'm telling you, I'm living a real life. You got to believe me. You know, I've got, you know, one at home still. I have a mother, and we just moved her for the fifth time. Wow. At Christmas time. You know, we're living a real life here too. And just to recognize that stress doesn't really pay off for me. You know, when I have a psoriatic arthritis attack, it'll be different than your attack, but, you know, I can have a toe that blows up and my foot not fit in a shoe. I can have a knee that blows up and I can't get in and out of a car. My skin can get bad from head to toe.
Right.
So some of this is just recognizing that, you know, we do have choices in this life of how we're going to decide to, you know, what we're going to worry about and what we're not going to worry about, that we can kind of practice that approach, which sometimes you have to say, you know, I can't really afford that much stress. So when you guys go to get in that mode, I've got to not be involved.
Yeah, I don't mean
can make that announcement. No, I can just make that announcement sometimes, which is helpful.
Yeah, that declaration. Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to get really down deep, dark, and, you know, dreary, but I read a book. It's written by Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. And Viktor Frankl, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. He was a survivor of Auschwitz when he was a psychiatrist before he went there. And he used that concentration camp experience as sort of like almost like an academic experience that he visualized himself one day teaching about, which thankfully he did survive and he achieved that dream. But one of the key takeaway that he took from that experience is that regardless of what external circumstances are happening around you, like you mentioned, the human body, the human mind, you always have the choice as to how you're going to respond to a situation. You have the choice to determine your attitude. And I think that as we've been discussing today, that's empowering. That's really encouraging that, you know, regardless of, you know, you may start implementing these strategies. You may start sleeping better. You may start eating better. You may start working out better. And something bad might still happen. But at the end of the day, we still have that choice to be resilient and to make the decision that we're not going to give up.
And we know, you know, it's easy for you and I to talk on the phone if we are feeling well to tell everybody that it's roses. But, you know, I'm the first one that if things aren't going well physically, you know, it's so stressful.
Oh,
it's incredibly stressful. I mean, the negative thinking can come in. I'm never going to be better. This has just ruined my life. I'm not where my peers are. You know, what's happened to me? I'm just not myself. I mean, I can go there in a New York minute. But, you know, trust me, I'm understanding this. But we also have to, because we do have a condition, we don't have as much privilege to do that as we used to be able to do it. You know, just a small example is my father, you know, is the kind of person that can call and stress you out. You know, when he's stressed out, he's just one of those people. I love him to death, but, you know, he just is that way. And, you know, I got to the point where, you know, I had to be very careful about those phone calls. It wasn't a matter of, you know, I don't love him as much. Of course I do, but I have to watch the time of day. I have to kind of watch where my head is, and I have to be more careful about it. So you learn to manage it a little bit better. And when they talk about managing stress, they're not talking about everybody sitting around in a yoga position, because that's not realistic for us. It's about when you're not feeling well, you know, I need to manage this by taking a break from everybody, or I need to watch the phone calls I'm getting, or I need to set my schedule a certain way, and I need to give myself a little forgiveness. So managing stress is a complex idea, and it's individual for each of us. How much time? I need a lot of time outside. That can really help me. You know, we just have to kind of look at ourselves and see what works and what doesn't.
Right. So at the end of all of this, what would you say is the key to finding lasting success when it comes to sleep health? Because there might be times where you wake up one, like, especially with MS, it's so variable. I could wake up one day and actually feel great and actually have a good day. How would you recommend you carry those sort of positive experience over into the next day, whether it's good or bad?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I can tell you that the simplest, truest answer to all of this, once you understand the importance of sleep, no one's going to budge you. Absolutely no one is going to budge you, because the science is so clear and the outcome of not getting enough sleep is so dangerous that it's kind of like saying, you know, how do you not get in the car and drink? It's like, once you understand, you know, that's who I am or who I'm not, then it becomes pretty simple. You know, I have a very strict bedtime. I have one, my husband has one, my sons have always had a bedtime, because we understand what the outcome is. So that's kind of the first piece of it. The second thing is, you're human and you're going to be living a real life with a real disease, and you're going to have bad nights, but you need to advocate for yourself. If you're having a bad night over and over, your symptoms aren't being controlled, and hopefully your doctor will understand the worst thing that can happen here for your disease immediately and long term is you're not getting the rest you need. And so things have to be treated aggressively. And so I think just understanding that importance will help in your actions forward, not only for yourself, but also how you're communicating. You know, I mean, I'll go to my doctor and be like, yeah, you need to give me the good stuff and you need to give it to me now. You know, once you understand, then you really begin to communicate differently and take different actions.
Right. That's really, I mean, it just makes a lot of sense that it's sort of like once you see truth and you see the way ahead, I mean, there should be nothing that stops you from taking that route.
Yeah. It's like when people would ask you guys, well, how do you get to the gym? It just seems really hard. You know, I don't really have that much time to go to the gym. How do you do it?
Yeah.
What's my choice? What's my choice here? You know? And that's the way I feel with sleep. Like, this isn't a choice I have. Getting a good night's sleep may keep me out of a memory care unit, may help me be here for my children for many years to come and see their grandchildren. It's going to help me manage my disease and my attitude about my disease as well as possible. Once you understand the importance, then not much gets in your way. You know, not much keeps you from the gym once you understand the benefits of being as strong as possible with MS.
Right. Absolutely. And that's something that we try to really advocate here with the MS Fitness Challenge. So
yeah.
What resources would you recommend if people listening today, if they want to be proactive and start taking control of their sleep, where do they start?
So the first thing is, you know, you can do a pretty simple, you know, you have to be careful with Google. But if you go to Google Scholar and the part that you're looking for, Google Scholar is all peer reviewed. You can kind of just look at, you know, sleep and MS. You want to not be careful. You want to be careful not to get caught up in the, you know, down and dirty of it. But just kind of look overall that you can see that sleep is a problem for people with MS. But beyond that, just kind of start looking at sleep and repair in MS, sleep and cognitive function, sleep and emotional stability. Kind of put in some of those keywords, because the first thing I tell people around sleep is education. I can always come and talk to a group. You can contact me through my website, tracyshealthyliving.com, T-R-A-C-Y-S. And I can even direct you if you're in a different part of the world than me. So education is really, really key. And then the next thing is communication. And I know you intuitively do that probably with your disease. Once you're educated about something, you begin to communicate it to those around you.
Right.
And that's what happens with sleep. You know, once I understand what it is I need, then I need to tell the people closest to me around me what I need so I can get support in that. You know, like for you, I need to get to the gym. Can you just help me, you know, make sure I go tomorrow or whatever you need to do? I need to get a good night's sleep. Is there a way that we can all kind of start settling down a little easier tonight?
I like that.
And so you begin to communicate, whether you have a roommate or a spouse or, you know, crazy kids, whatever it is. So education, communication, and then it becomes a lot of self-assessment, you know, a lot of recording your sleep, figuring out how you feel when. And then if the same thing's getting in your way over and over again, whether it's sleeping with a pet or numbness in your legs, you need to not negatively judge that, just kind of observe that.
Right.
And be like, you know what? It just feels like my dog's waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning every day. And you're not really mad at your dog, but you need to kind of look at it in terms of your sleep and what's that doing. Or, yeah, when I sleep with somebody else, you know, it feels like their snoring is really keeping me up. Again, you're not mad at that person. You just need to change your situation around sleep. And so once you can begin kind of educating, communicating, and then recording what's happening, and just kind of like if you're noticing that, you know, you're really not sleeping well, it's super, super important to speak with your doctor, because, you know, MS medications can get in the way, the disease itself can get in the way. And you also want to make sure and not use it as, and I mean this in the kindest of terms,
sure,
not use it as an excuse if you're not sleeping well, because you have to realize it's kind of like, again, being in shape.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's easy to say with MS, like, well, I have MS, so I really can't be in shape. You know, you have to really be careful about, yeah, that analogy. You have to be careful about saying, well, I don't sleep well because I have MS. Well, you have to realize that about 16% of the population, and that's such a low number from what I'm seeing in the field, is not sleeping well.
Right.
So we have to all kind of get better together. You guys can inspire me to get to the gym more. You know, I can inspire you to sleep better. You know, we don't have to use our, you know, whatever we're living with to be kind of the barrier there. It's just something that we're managing. And sleep is going to be, you know, if I'm on my B game, you're going to have to be on your A game. And I talked to a young woman yesterday with ADHD, and she's on ADHD medicine. She's also experiencing stress and anxiety. And she was kind of like, well, how will I ever sleep? And it's kind of like, you know, I have to be in my B game. You have to be on your A game. And you have to so carefully implement all the strategies, not use what you have as a reason why not, but as a reason to have to work a little bit harder towards the same goal, very similar to fitness.
Yeah, the parallel I draw personally to my life there is I'm actually training for an Ironman right now in September Wow. of 2020. And I look at the Ironman, and it's always been this crazy goal that I've wanted to achieve, but I look at the Ironman with having multiple sclerosis, and it's going to take more than being a man of iron to do that. It's going to, the way that I say it, it's going to require me to be a man of steel. And iron, right, when put under immense pressure and immense temperatures and heat, it's combusted into a stronger material. And just like you're saying right here, with the disease like MS or whatever it be, ADHD, if it's Alzheimer's, you have to bring your A game day in and day out. You just have to.
Exactly. And it's just the opposite of intuitively you would think, well, I can't do it at all. But it's actually opposite. You have to do it, and you have to work just harder at it, which is, you know, it takes tremendous strength. And you will be, if you do that Ironman, like already just hearing about it, you've inspired me. And so, you know, you have to also feel the, you know, the love and that support of when you take those brave steps that the general population has a hard time taking. You serve us all. And so we really have to employ a lot of the same rules of the general population to that we have with diseases. And we can take a lot of the same steps and get better even with a disease.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, at the same time, it's also difficult for me to manage that burden of awareness that I'm bringing, that I feel responsible for succeeding and not failing because of the inspiration I know that I'm bringing to other people. But at the same time, I have to temper those expectations and be realistic. So it's a fine tuned balance day in and day out.
Yeah. But you know what, even the fact that you're trying, you know, that journey is what's inspiring to others. You know, that just that you said that you were even thinking about that, that inspired me to think a little bit bigger. So while we often think that the end is the prize, right, your journey right now, those highs along the journey will never meet the high at the end. You're doing it already.
That's amazing. It's all about the journey.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one last question for you before we wrap up, and it kind of just, it sort of narrows the focus into sort of who you are and the difference that you've made with other people, with your work. What would you say has been the most rewarding aspect of your career thus far? Do you have any examples of how the principles and practices you provide have made a difference in the lives of others?
Oh my gosh, yes. So, you know, I spoke last year to 19 Division I athletic teams. That was a lot. And to be honest with you, when I started, I kept going through the motions, but I kind of felt like, I don't know if we're ever going to get anywhere. We're in a pretty deep, dark place when it comes to sleep in this country. And we're on a pretty crash course with diabetes and heart disease, Alzheimer's. It's not looking good. And sleep isn't looking good in this country. And sometimes I feel like I'm tilting at windmills. But then, you know, yesterday I was speaking to these four different groups at one different location. And when I have the kids all staying after and circling me with questions, and I see that they want to do this differently, they want to know, they want to get better. You know, I put on my Instagram, I'm at Drink Smoothies, and I just thought, you know what, today's the first day I felt like maybe there's hope, you know, maybe we're going to make a change. I worked with two of these teams, one lacrosse and one baseball at a large university. And I feel like I'm trying to keep up with them now. You know, it's kind of like if David gets somebody like in shape and next thing you know, they're talking about doing the Ironman. And he's like, holy smokes, Ironman. Like, I never even thought of that, you know? And I've got these people like changing meeting times and changing travel times and, you know, not Snapchatting after 1 a.m. And they're making all these changes. And I'm like, oh my goodness, maybe I'm making a difference. And it's difficult because I feel very alone sometimes in my mission. But I know I'm on solid science and I know that, you know, right now I'm meant to do this work. And that's helpful to me.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I just want to thank you so much for being on today's show, Tracy. I mean, it's extremely encouraging to have someone like you who's just so passionate about health and wellness to be on the MS Fitness Challenge team. MS, as we all know, it's a difficult disease to cope with because it varies so greatly from one person to the next. But at the core, a holistic approach to health, and that includes sleeping habits, that includes fitness, diet, nutrition, all of it. It's the best way to find lasting success. And now that you're here, we're even more equipped to fight this battle of confidence.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure to be here. So anything anybody needs, reach out. I'll try to answer the questions if I can, or I'll try to refer you anyway.
Yeah,
I'm just a scientist, so I'm just trying to communicate what's latest out there.
What is the best way for people to connect with you, and when and where can they expect to see updates from you within the MS Fitness Challenge?
Yeah, so I'm on the Facebook page that David's got me in, so I can, you know, definitely come in there. People can message me from there. I'm also at tracyshealthyliving.com. There's a button to connect with me. You can send my personal email, tdavenport22@gmail.com, if you're technically challenged like I am and none of those things make sense to you. But I'll always be on the other end for you. Like I said, academically, disease and disability is the area I come from. And my heart now is in helping people live their best and longest lives. So any way I can be helpful.
Awesome, Tracy. I'll make sure that I also have all those links available and the links to your ebook as well. I think that'll be useful. With that, do you have any closing comments?
You know what? Just keep going. You are all just inspiring me when I scroll through the Facebook page and I see what you're doing physically. And, you know, it just really crosses disease barriers when I look at what I have and I look at what you're doing. All I can say is just keep going. You're on the right track and science supports you in that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tracy. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Be sure to tune into next week's episode where I will get the honor and privilege of interviewing James Drake. James is an MS warrior that was recently featured on and competed in the Netflix hit series show Ultimate Beastmaster. His passion for faith and fitness will motivate you to channel your inner beast. Stay tuned and don't miss out. Remember, new episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available for download every Saturday on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way you can help and support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the greater the impact we can have. As we close out, remember to check out msfitnesschallenge.com, check out the upcoming training camp in Los Angeles, and dig into all the great resources we have for you. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and get plugged into the MS Fitness Challenge Gym Facebook group. The group is as active as ever and will give you the chance to get integrated to a motivated cast of dedicated MS warriors. To all those listening, to all our MS warriors, thank you. Don't give up the fight. Keep pressing. Keep striving and conquer MS.